Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, it's been some time since we've talked about the NVDA screen reader for Windows. On today's show, we'll be talking about how that project has been coming along, what's new, and what to expect in the future.
Over the years, NVDA has matured to be a viable alternative to commercial screen readers for personal, educational, and professional use. We'll speak with Jamie Tay, one of the founders and co-lead developers of NVDA. But first, for our tip of the week. Our tip this week is that it pays to be able to absorb information quickly.
Hang on, let me look at the calendar. Get out of there.
I take it that's the eSpeak voice.
That is eSpeak, yeah. Very fast eSpeak.
That sounds
sure
like
is.
A hyperactive mouse.
850 words a minute.
Woo!
Jeez.
That is just screaming. I can't believe he can understand it that quickly. But you know, it's really important for anybody to be able to absorb information quickly these days. There is so much information and data and things that you want to read around the internet and otherwise, and that's a great skill to have. And just like sighted people learn to speed read, there's no reason why a visually impaired person can't learn to speed listen.
Let's start by meeting Jamie Tay.
So we know you've been on the show before, but can you start by reintroducing yourself to our listeners?
So I'm Jamie Tay. I'm one of the co-lead developers of the NVDA screen reader and also an executive director of NV Access Limited, which is the Australian charity that sits behind NVDA and everything that we do.
You said you're one of the lead co-developers. Can you tell us who the other one is?
Michael Curran, who I believe was on the show a few years ago, he actually is the person that originally created NVDA back in 2006, but then I got involved very soon after. We've been longtime friends, and he too is an executive director of NV Access Limited. So it's basically more or less the two of us doing the majority of this thing.
And you two are both visually impaired probably since birth, right?
Both totally blind, me since birth. Mick has been vision impaired since birth, but I believe he went blind when he was a teenager.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is NVDA.
So I'm sure most of our listeners are familiar with NVDA, but can you give a quick summary of what it is for people who don't know?
NVDA stands for Non-Visual Desktop Access, and it's basically a free and open source screen reader for Microsoft Windows. So while there are products out there that have been screen readers for Windows for years, they are extremely expensive, as everyone's probably aware. We're looking at sort of upwards of $1,000 US. Whereas NVDA, being completely free, provides an option for those that can't afford those expensive alternatives.
And how did NVDA come to be?
Well, I suppose partly because it was something that Mick wanted to see if he could do. But also, I suppose the big motivation behind it was that we ourselves were using, you know, very outdated copies of JAWS that we happened to get as a result of funding while we were in school. And at that stage, we felt it was a bit unrealistic. You know, we didn't have the money to pay for the constant updates to the screen reader that are necessary in order to stay up to date with technology. So we decided, I suppose, to try our hand at doing our own. And NVDA is the result of that effort.
Do you and Mick have day jobs, or is NVDA your full-time thing?
NVDA is our full-time thing, it is our day job, if you like. So we're actually employed full-time by NV Access Limited as a result of grants and donations and contracts to work on NVDA.
And how big is the team now? You two are the lead developers, but you must have more people helping out or community sourcing some of the programs?
So NV Access only has two employees, and those are us, but also we have contributions from throughout the world, primarily in terms of localization. So all of our translators are not from our organization, and they've chosen to contribute to MVDA being open source. And we also do now have some people contributing code to the project, not quite as many. So we probably still do about 90 to 95% of the coding, but we are starting to see more and more contributions coming forward. You know, it's sort of steadily growing, which is great to see.
And how many users are there?
In terms of number of users, it's a bit difficult to tell because we, being a free product, we don't have licenses that we can count. But what I can tell you is that from the update checks, so MVDA, when it asks whether there's a new update, from those statistics, we know that we have over 20,000 users using MVDA every day on average. So that doesn't account for people that aren't always connected to the internet or don't run MVDA on certain days, but it does give us an idea of who's using it pretty much constantly. On top of that, we can also count the number of downloads of MVDA. And for the last release, we actually crossed the 100,000 download mark.
Wow. So you have a lot of people depending on you and relying on this product to do their everyday jobs and things they need to do.
Absolutely. More and more people are starting to move to MVDA, and it's starting to become a more essential part of people's lives.
So you talked about the number of people who downloaded NVDA. I assume NVDA is a product that you would download to your computer and then run locally.
That's correct, yes.
So let's talk about some of the new features in NVDA since the last time we spoke to you, which was several years ago. We spoke to Mick about NVDA. You guys have added a lot of functionality in this program, and it is really quite comparable to some of the commercial screen readers these days.
Yeah, so there have been really huge strides in the last few years in terms of NVDA's functionality, and we now sort of are very much on par in most areas with the commercial screen readers. I suppose some of the big changes are that, particularly in the last couple of years, we've been working heavily on support for Microsoft Office. So before that, NVDA was well known for being very much on the leading edge as far as web technology is concerned, so modern web applications and really complex web sites. But, you know, there were some gaps in areas such as Microsoft Office. And, you know, at the time, majority of people were using commercial screen readers for their jobs. But we decided that since we had obviously done a huge amount of work on the web, that it was time to start focusing on things like Microsoft Office. So we now have support for Microsoft PowerPoint, which has been a really great thing for particularly for university students. And recently we've done a huge amount of work to improve our support for Microsoft Word, Excel, and Outlook. And the last one is particularly important. That was probably the area that we were weakest in before, say, the start of last year. And that obviously is something that's needed by a lot of people, both in the academic and corporate sectors. So there have been a huge amount of other changes, but I suppose those are the really big, notable ones that people think of.
So you essentially started out by supporting web applications because everybody needs the web and it's so ubiquitous in what we do. But then as you found more time, you started supporting some of the other programs and applications that people might use in their daily lives and at work.
That's correct. I mean, we did always have support for Word and Excel. You know, we've had that for a long time, but it's just that some of the more advanced features, like to give you an example, in Microsoft Word, you could always read text, but you couldn't necessarily quickly jump by heading or by link. And that's something that people find very useful for efficiency. And you can now do that. So I suppose it's more correct to say that we originally focused on making NVDA the best screen reader we could for people who couldn't afford the alternatives. Now, people that are in corporate jobs generally can afford those alternatives. Whereas students and, you know, home users and people that are looking for jobs can't necessarily afford it. Now, students are an interesting area because they do depend on a lot of the corporate applications as well. And that's, I guess, one of the big reasons that we've made a big push into this space.
Can NVDA handle complicated things like equations and figures and captions and columns?
That's a fantastic question because it gives me a lovely segue into this. So in NVDA 2015.2, one of the big features was that we introduced support for reading of mathematical content. So we do this by way of an extra plugin that you need to install called MathPlayer from Design Science. And basically, it allows you to read math content on the web that's written in MathML in both Internet Explorer and Mozilla Firefox. And also, if you use the popular MathType application for producing math in Microsoft Word and PowerPoint, it can also read that as well. And not only does it speak and braille the math, but you can also interact with the math. So anyone who's familiar with complex math will be aware that you can't take a complex math expression and digest it in one go. You generally need to explore it or break it down in some way. And so what you can do with the interaction is actually step through the expression in a hierarchical way. So let's just say you've got a fraction. You can walk inside the fraction and individually look at the numerator and the denominator. And if the numerator is complex, then you can walk inside the numerator and see the components of that. And so it obviously allows for much easier digestion of math, if you will.
And that can be quite a boon for students, particularly students who are interested in science, technology, engineering, and math, or the STEM studies.
Absolutely. It's a really big thing. MVDA is, you know, not the first to get here, and we obviously JAWS has some math support now as well. From my perspective, I think it's great to see that all of the screen readers now are really trying to work on this. I think it's, you know, 2015 has been the year for math support appearing, and I think that's really fantastic. It's been a long time coming, and it's been an area that people have really struggled to gain access to for a long time now.
Well, especially with the advent of screen readers being as good as they have become, STEM jobs become very attractive to blind people, whereas before, when it was almost impossible to interact with the material that you needed to interact with, that was more of a challenge. But, you know, it's great for blind people to get into these careers because computers make accessibility so good.
For sure. And, you know, we've got a way to go yet. I won't say that we're all the way there yet, but we've certainly made a really massive leap in the right direction, right across the industry, I think. It's also worth noting, since you asked about figures and charts, that the other big thing is that in NVIDIA 2015.2, we also now have support for reading and interacting with charts in Microsoft Excel, which is obviously another thing that can be very helpful if you're dealing with that kind of content. Now, what's really interesting about this is that this was actually contributed by a team of developers in India that are working on NVIDIA now. So this really does start to highlight the open source contributions that we're seeing.
So that's really great. These are real enablers. And it sounds like, although the commercial screen readers have had some of these features and utilities for some time, that you're finally making these available to people who can't afford the commercial screen readers and can actually use this in their careers or as students.
For sure. I mean, I think it's fair to say that we have had a bit of catch up to play in some of these areas, but I think we're really making big strides in that direction now. And I'd say that the gap is very much narrowing. It's worth noting that math is something that's new for all of us. And I know that one of the issues is, you know, how complex is the math that you're dealing with? I believe that Math Player, from what I understand, can deal with some very, you know, high-level math that some of the other solutions can't. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as we go forward in these areas.
What type of Braille support is currently in NVDA?
So over the last few years, we've been steadily adding support for new Braille displays. I think we support the majority of Braille displays out there now, but there are always new ones that pop up that I'm not even aware of. One thing I do know is that there are a couple of newer BOM displays that we aren't supporting as well as we could, like the Vario Ultra and displays like that. But we steadily sort of work towards improving that situation. There's also a long-standing project I actually started last year, and I haven't had a chance to finish it, to add support for Braille display automatic detection. So the basic idea is, as long as you've got drivers installed or you've paired the display, NVDA will just find it. You don't actually have to configure NVDA to find it. I don't know when that's going to actually come to life. It just depends when I can get back to it. But I think that'll be a really important feature for blind deaf users in particular.
And how about your support for speech and speech synthesizers?
In terms of speech synthesizers, NVDA is still bundled with eSpeak, which is somewhat controversial. It's obviously extremely responsive, but some people don't like the voice, etc. I think synthesizers in general are very controversial. But you can now buy Vocalizer for NVDA. We don't provide that product, but an external vendor does. And Acapella are also now selling an add-on for NVDA containing their voices. So we are starting to see now commercial voices being provided specifically for use with NVDA, obviously at a cost.
Wow. So among those three sources, how many languages do you have voices in?
Well, eSpeak has support for, I think it's over 40, but to be fair, a lot of those languages are only partly developed or have been started and haven't been, you know, necessarily completed due to lack of interest or assist or ability. But with Vocalizer, I don't even know how many languages it supports, but it does support the majority of them, including Arabic. And I know that Arabic is a language that eSpeak certainly doesn't support. I don't know any free synthesizer that does support Arabic, unfortunately. But it does mean that we can now cover that. So I would say we cover a huge number of the, you know, most commonly used languages.
Well, you know, it's interesting talking about speech synthesizers. eSpeak is the one that sounds most computerized, and speech synthesizers have gotten really good in quality these days. However, I notice a lot of visually impaired users still rely on the more electronic speech systems because they can listen to them faster. They're more distinct than a human-like voice.
Yes, that's right. Particularly at high speeds, the more natural sounding voices tend to become difficult to understand. And also the more electronic voices or in synthetic voices, if you will, tend to be more responsive. So when I say responsive, I mean the time that you press a key, for example, to the time that it actually speaks is almost instantaneous with those voices. Whereas with more natural sounding voices, there can be a delay. Vocalizer's pretty good. It's still not as good as eSpeak, but it's pretty good. But most of the other natural voices are fairly slow to respond.
There's a little bit more overhead and computations needed to produce those high quality voices.
That's exactly right.
So now one other thing that differentiates NVDA from some of the commercial screen readers, the commercial screen readers will support a greater variety of other programs out of the box, but they also have the ability to script, and if someone is knowledgeable about programming, they can customize their applications by writing some scripts for applications. What types of capabilities does NVDA have in that regard?
It's a common misconception, actually, that NVDA can't be scripted. In reality, it has always been scriptable. In fact, being written in Python, it's uniquely placed to be scriptable. Since the beginning, you've been able to provide what we call app modules, which is basically a script for an application, and we've been extending that over the years. In the last few years, we developed a framework for NVDA add-on packaging, so that instead of having to copy little files around like you used to have to do and you had to know where to put them and you know what files to put where, and that obviously requires some technical knowledge, now you can just download this add-on package and install it straight into NVDA, and NVDA handles all of that for you.
So you've made this a little bit more turnkey in terms of sharing scripts that other people have written and using them on your system.
That's right. You know, obviously we want to make it as easy as possible for users to use this stuff. So, you know, developers have a couple of extra hoops to go through, but developers, you know, have the knowledge to pull that off. Whereas a user, you really just want to be able to have them, you know, press a button, have it install and have it go. And then, of course, if they want to remove it, they can easily remove it as well. And so that's been a huge incentive for the community to start developing, you know, more add-ons. And if you look at the addons.nvda-project.org website, you'll see that there are now quite a few out there. And I believe there are quite a few out there that aren't published on that site as well, though we want to try to narrow that gap as we go forward.
So if people go there, they can find these add-ons that other people have written and they might be useful for your specific application.
Application or just about anything, really. So you can write support for an application. That's the most common thing. But you can also add completely new features to NVDA. You can add support for new Braille displays and support for new synthesizers as well. You know, we often do see things, you know, support for new Braille displays tested originally as add-ons, and then eventually we roll that into the core. Certain things, you know, obviously we don't pull into the core of NVDA because it's out of scope or it's not really appropriate, but certainly any of the really big things that we feel are appropriate, there's certainly scope for that to happen. So that's another area where add-ons are really useful. It provides a way for people to almost, you know, test drive, see how something will go, and then, you know, see what the community thinks.
And what's your process if somebody wants to create an add-on and submit it to be added to the NVDA project?
So in terms of submitting an add-on to the add-ons website, that process is currently largely managed by some community members. I do have some involvement in it. but it's I don't sort of hugely manage it. But essentially, it comes down to someone submits a request to a mailing list, and they say, we want to, you know, provide this add-on. It gets reviewed just to make sure there's no nasty issues or, you know, security problems or, you know, we hope not, but malicious intent. And it goes through that process, and then it gets placed up so that it can be translated by the translation team so that it can be in as many languages as possible. And then eventually it gets put up on the site. There is a stage on the site where it can be put up under the development section, and that means that we're sort of saying this is for early testing. And then there's the wider area, which is you know, for general consumption. In terms of something that's being submitted to MVDA itself, that's a different process where, you know, a user would file what we call a ticket on our tracker, whether it be for a bug or an enhancement, and then we discuss it, and then we go through a process where they provide the code and we review it and so on. So it's, I suppose, similar, but it's a very different mechanism, and I'm largely responsible for that.
Well, it sounds like you've certainly added a lot of features over the years, and this has become quite a powerful program for people to use.
Now for this week's final item, what's planned for the future for NVDA and how to learn more, including how to obtain the latest version of NVDA.
So NVDA has regular quarterly updates these days, and I'm wondering, what is your roadmap for the future, for the next 6 months, year, two? Where do you see this project going?
So in NVDA 2015.3, the big focus was Windows 10. So Windows 10 came out on the 29th of July, and up to that we were really pushing to be as ready as possible. And while there's still some work to be done both on Microsoft's side and our side, we wanted to be as ready as possible for Windows 10. So you can now use NVDA with Windows 10. There are still some gaps that need to be addressed. Going forward, we do have some things on the roadmap, like support for rich text editing in Mozilla Firefox. So rich text editing is where we deal with things like the sort of complex editors in Gmail and Google Docs and all of that sort of stuff, where you're not just dealing with text, but you're also potentially inserting links, changing the font, etc. Now, NVDA sort of has had some very rough support for that in the past, but it's something that needs to be massively improved. I'm working on that at the moment, and it's nearly there, but not quite. So that's going to be a pretty big thing when it does happen, because it will make a lot of those editors much easier to use. Beyond that, obviously, you know, still wanting to improve our support for Microsoft Office applications. There's still more work to be done there. But really, our big focus is to try to be as agile and responsive as possible. So we don't necessarily plan 6 months to a year out. I mean, we have some ideas of things we want to work on, like I mentioned braille display detection before. But really, you know, as things happen, we want to try to respond to them. And as user requests happen, we want to try to respond to those as well. So we generally try to figure out what we're doing for a release, you know, a few months ahead, but we don't generally plan, say, a year ahead. That may change as we move forward, but for now, that seems to be the best way for us to work.
But there's always something new being included and some work to be done. It's never ending.
Absolutely. It really is never ending.
So I'm kind of curious. This effort has been around for a long time, and it's been primarily you and Mick carrying this forward. Do you have any kind of plans for this project in terms of passing it on when either of you are no longer around or want to just ease back a little bit?
Yeah, look, it's a question we don't have a good answer for. I mean, I'd like to be able to say that we have a succession plan and that we know who we're going to pass the torch on to if for some reason we can't continue. But the reality is that, you know, it's a very esoteric area of development, and there aren't many people out there that sort of have, I suppose, the years of knowledge and experience that we've acquired, and also the sort of drive to push through the tricky times. I mean, developing a product like this is difficult because we're trying to do something for free, but still trying to obviously work full time on it. And that's a very difficult mission. But I will say that, you know, obviously we are really trying hard to bring more developers from the community on board. And I'm hoping that we can start to make that happen. Obviously, we have the team in India that I mentioned developing for NVDA, and some of that team is actually full time. So we're hoping that we can start to get more efforts like that into the future, you know, or sort of around the world, so that there'll be more people contributing to NVDA on a more regular basis.
So if people wanted to find out more about NVDA, download the product, or even get involved in some way, where would they go?
The best place to start is the NVAccess website, which is www.nvaccess.org. In terms of getting involved, you know, contributing or testing or anything like that, there's a link on that site that says, you know, the community, and that's a separate portal, but that's where you would go if you want to report issues as well, or do any of that kind of, you know, developer-y stuff.
And there's links on there to your add-ons page, I take it?
Correct, yes.
And is there any email address where people can ask questions or connect with you or Mick or someone else?
In terms of general inquiries, admin@nvaccess.org. But generally speaking, you know, for technical support or for development, we'd encourage people to use the mailing lists. We're not able to provide, you know, free tech support ourselves, but the mailing lists are there, and there's information about all of that on the website as well.
And do you have a social media presence?
Yes. So on both Facebook and Twitter, on Twitter at NVAccess. And on Facebook, there's a page called NVAccess. And again, there are links to that off our website as well.
And we'll encourage listeners of Eyes on Success to go to our website to find the show notes for this episode, to find all of that contact information, as well as links to previous episodes where we talked with Mick Curran about NVDA, and another show where we talked with Jamie about using sonar with NVDA. So just go to www.eyesonsuccess.net and look for those show notes.
That's it for show number 1535. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about stem cell therapy for retinal disease. Pam Retzloff was legally blind since birth due to a congenital retinal disease. Starting in her 20s, her vision progressively worsened until she was left with a very small, dim visual field. We'll speak with her about a stem cell treatment she had in late 2014, including what the process and recovery have been like and how her vision is evolving. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. Browse the full archive of programs, find instructions for subscribing to the podcasts, and much more at www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also find us on iTunes, follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com, at Eyes on Success, or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.